We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
A friend of mine told me one time that when he was a boy, he was in Sunday school class, and he can remember his teacher telling the students, "Now, when you grow up, you don't have to teach other people by word of mouth, by quoting book, chapter, and verse, but you can teach other people just by living a good life, just by setting a good example." You know, the Bible teaches that we are to communicate the gospel by our words, not just through our lives only, not just by setting a good example. Jesus Christ taught us that His message is a teachable message, and therefore somebody has got to teach it. And living a good life and a moral life and engaging in deeds of kindness, that's good. It's appropriate for us to do that, but it's not a substitute for teaching the gospel. I want to take just a few minutes and talk about some reasons why that's not good enough. Here's number one. Living a good life and setting a good example is not a substitute for teaching. Number one, because the Lord told us to go and to preach. In Matthew 28 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." Now, this first word, "go," this is not something that you can just stay home and live right and obey. They were aggressively told to go and know that you've got the authority of God behind you when you do it. And then they were told to teach. The word "teach" here is the Greek word that, according to Thayer's, means to make a disciple. Literally, it means to make a learner. Now, this is different from the Greek word didasko, which simply means to teach. In fact, the American Standard translates it this way: "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations." Now, Mark's parallel in Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, what is the gospel? The word gospel means good news. It means the good message. Romans 1:16, Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so, in order to obey this command, I have got to teach the gospel plan of salvation. Now, I can do good works all of my life. I can set a good example all of my life and still not teach someone the gospel plan of salvation. I can show them how to be a good person, but they'll die lost if I don't teach them the gospel. Now, it's interesting that Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." I think that's the reason. I'm not thinking of anyone specific when I say this, but I think that's the reason sometimes we don't carry the gospel. I think that's the reason why it's appealing to us to say, "I'll just live a good example, and that's all I've got to do." And I think it's because sometimes we are ashamed of the gospel. We don't want to be treated differently. And we think if we go and we teach someone the gospel, they're going to treat us differently. Or they might be angry with us. Or we don't want to say anything objectionable to our friends or our family because it might stir up problems, and I don't want that sort of thing. In a sense, we're ashamed of the gospel. But you know, when we conduct ourselves that way, we are never any more unlike our Lord. I want you to look at a passage with me. Turn to John 6. I want you to see the attitude that our Lord had. He was always loving. He was always kind. But I want you to notice this. In John chapter 6, let's learn a lesson here from the master teacher. In John 6, Jesus had fed the multitudes. And some people followed Him for that reason. They wanted a free meal, and so they followed Jesus. But after He fed them, He began to relate to them some spiritual truths. And eventually He starts to say some things that they just can't handle, that they think are very strong statements. And so in verse 60, the text says, "Many therefore, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" They said, "What this man is saying is hard." Not that it was difficult to understand, but that it's objectionable. They said, "This is objectionable. This makes us angry. This is offensive. We're not going to listen to this." Verse 66 says, "And from that time forward, many of His disciples went back, and they walked no more with Him." Some of the disciples, when they heard the message, they did think it was objectionable. They were offended. Now, let's get the point here from Jesus. I want you to notice what happened, because Jesus does not compromise His message. In fact, He turns to His apostles and He does something incredible. He says to them, "Will you go away also?" You see, what Jesus did here, He would have allowed every single one of those disciples, including His apostles, to turn around and walk away before he would compromise one word of God's truth. That's how he felt about it. Sometimes it is objectionable, but he didn't apologize. He did not make excuse for it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, not one single word of it. It's the power of God unto salvation. How can I be ashamed of that? That's what saved my soul. That's the attitude I've got to have. Now, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, he refers to it as the gospel. In verse 23, he refers to it as the faith. I think sometimes people say, what do you mean when you say we've got to teach the gospel? Galatians 1:8, it's the gospel. Galatians 1:23, it's the faith. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, the gospel is called the preaching of the cross. Now, when you look at the different things it's called, you get an idea of what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. That's what I've got to be teaching. Not just bringing in garbage cans and being a nice guy. You see, I think we'd like that because if I do that, no one's ever going to get mad at me. If I bring in my neighbor's garbage can, he's not going to get upset. That's not objectionable. In fact, he's going to like that. If I just do nice things, he's always going to like that. I'm always going to be the nice guy. But Paul said, what I've got to be doing is teaching the gospel, the power of God, the preaching of the cross, the gospel plan of salvation, the faith, as it's called. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. That's what we've got to be preaching. Acts 8 and verse 12 says, and when they believed Philip, preaching things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, men and women. You keep going in Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Then Philip, he's teaching the eunuch here, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto them Jesus. Why did Philip have this approach? He went and he preached Christ. He preached the kingdom of Christ. He preached the name of Christ. He began at the same scripture and he preached Jesus. Why did he do that? Because that's what the Lord said to do. That's what He expects us to do. The idea that I can just live right and that's all that the Lord expects of me, it's wrong because it contradicts the Great Commission. Here's number two. Living a good life and setting a good example is not a substitute for teaching. Number two, because it's inconsistent with the lives of the early Christians. It doesn't say that they went everywhere doing deeds of kindness, hoping that people would obey the gospel. What does it say? Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 5 and 42 says, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's not just preachers. That was everybody. That was the members of the church. Every one of us, in a sense, is a teacher and a preacher. Now listen to this from Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. I want you to listen to this and then I'm going to make a point. In Acts 20 and verse 20, Paul tells the brethren there, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and I have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says, publicly and house to house, I taught you. Now, listen to verse 26. Verse 26, he says, wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? Why was Paul pure from the blood of all men? Just because he'd set a good example? Just because he had done some good deeds? No. In fact, look at verse 27. Here's the reason. He said, I am pure from your blood because I have not shunned to declare unto you all of the counsel of God. Why was Paul pure from the blood of other people? It was because he told them what God wanted them to do. And he says, I told you every bit of it. There wasn't one thing you needed to know that I was afraid to tell you. There wasn't one thing that I kept back because I thought you might get mad. There wasn't one thing that was too objectionable that he said, I just withheld that. He said, everything you needed to know, I gave it to you. And because of that, your blood's not on my head. Here's number three. Living a good life and setting a good example is not a substitute for teaching because, number three, it negates the need for preachers. You know, the Lord has ordained that there be preachers. Now, why is that? You know, if living a good moral life is enough, why does God say there needs to be preachers? The answer is obvious. It's not enough. There's a message that men need to hear if they're going to be saved. You know, we oftentimes quote Romans 10, 13 and 14, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they then call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" He says in order to be saved, there's a message that has to be heard. Now, here's a question for you. Is preaching an optional thing? Is that optional? Not in the sense of doing it full time like I do it, it being your occupation and your living. That's optional. Not everybody has to do that. That's a choice that you make. But in the sense that all of us are preachers and teachers, it's not optional. I can't go to heaven if I don't do this. This is not optional. You know, in 1 Corinthians 9:16, the Apostle Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Yea, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Paul was so serious about this. How did he look at this? Paul said, "I have received mercy from God, and I have got to preach it. I have got to tell other people about this." And it was such a serious matter, he says, "Woe." We don't use that word like they did so much. But it means it's going to be bad, is what it means. Woe unto me. In other words, I don't want to go to the day of judgment if I haven't been preaching the gospel. Is that the attitude we have toward souls? When was the last time that you won a soul? Have you ever won a soul? You know, Paul said, "I have received mercy through the gospel, and woe unto me if I don't preach it to others." I heard an illustration about a fellow who was homeless. And he was standing in an alley, and he was cold, and he was hungry. And somebody came by this alleyway, and they saw him there in his tattered clothes, and they said to him, "Man, don't you know they're giving away free bread at the grocery store?" And he got excited, and he thought, "Is that real?" And so he climbed out, and he made his way to the grocery store, and they were. And so he started shoving bread in his face, and he's stuffing bread in his pockets, and he had enough for days to come, maybe even weeks to come. And he's eating, and he's filled, and he's feeling better, and he begins walking off. And as he starts walking back down the road, he passes an alleyway, and there's another man who is standing there, and he's cold, and he's hungry, has nothing to eat, a homeless man. And he walked right by, and he never said a word. We have the bread of life. We have been fed in our hungry state, the spiritual hunger that we have. And sometimes, even though we have the bread of life, we walk right by and we never say a word. You know, Paul said, "Woe is unto me. Woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel." He said, "I'm a debtor both to the Jews and to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise." Romans 1:14. I might ask myself, do I feel like a debtor? Do I feel the same gratitude for my salvation that Paul had? Do I feel the same weight of necessity upon me that Paul felt? Here's four. Number four, living a good life. Setting a good example is not a substitute for teaching because, number four, it will not remove the blood of guilt from my head. Now, we noticed just a few minutes ago, Paul said that by his teaching, that he had freed himself from the blood of all men. Now, that's very interesting, that I can teach and free myself from the blood of all men. But you know, that's not just a New Testament thing. This same principle is found in the Old Testament. Listen to this. This is a very sobering, in fact, it's a very scary passage. In Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel 3, beginning in verse 16, says, "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying..." Came to Ezekiel saying, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman over the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest not him warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his evil way, to turn from his wickedness and save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity." But listen to this part. This is what I want you to get. "But his blood will I require at thine hand." He said, if you don't warn the wicked man, you know it, and you don't warn the wicked man, he's going to die. He's going to be lost if you don't tell him. "But his blood am I going to require from you." Why? Because you didn't tell him. Then he goes on in verse 19, "Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity." Now listen to this part. "But you have delivered your own soul." He said, if you do go and warn the wicked man, it may be that he ignores you. He may scoff at you. He may get angry. He may say it's objectionable. He may say, don't talk to me about that anymore. Don't bring that around my family. And he may stay a wicked man. But the Bible says you've saved your own soul when you did that. In this passage, Ezekiel was to warn the wicked man. Ezekiel was the prophet of God. But you know, today the Lord doesn't have prophets. Today He has Christians. Today we are His preachers. And it's our responsibility to carry the message to the lost. And if we don't carry that message, we're going to have the blood of other people to answer for. Now that's scary for this reason, because now it's not just the souls of other people that are at stake. It's my own soul that's at stake. If I don't teach the gospel to other people, they're going to be lost, sure, but I will too. That's what Ezekiel 3 teaches us. So how are we going to warn men to turn from their evil ways to the gospel of Christ? Can I do that just by good moral living? I can't. I can't. You know, I kind of wish I could, because that would be comforting. You know, if I could just be a pretty good guy and bring in garbage cans and things like that, then and stay in my comfort zone, I would never have to take the chance of offending people. I would never take the chance of alienating people. Everybody would like me, and that would be great. But that's not the way it is. That's not the way the Lord designed the gospel. He entrusted us with the gospel. He charged us to go, to take it to all the world. And this is how the Apostle Paul looked at it. He never tried to stay in his comfort zone, because he knew that's not what saves souls. Paul said, I have been beaten with rods for the gospel's sake. He had argued and debated the gospel. He said, one time I was stoned. He said, people actually literally threw rocks and stones at me. He says, I have had stripes above measure. That is, I have been whipped. He says, I have suffered in pain. I have gone hungry. I have been shipwrecked. Acts 21 and verse 13, he said that he was ready even to die for the name of Jesus Christ. Paul understood that he could not stay in his comfort zone and carry out the gospel of Christ. And that's the lesson that we've got to get. You know, I've been thinking about this lately, because I thought about souls that are around me, souls that I come in contact with, people that live on my street that are nearby me. It may be that you are the only Christian in your neighborhood. And I think about what accountability I'm going to have before God with regard to that. Am I going to be accountable for all those souls if I don't even try? To what degree is the Lord going to hold me accountable for these souls? And I started thinking, how am I going to reach these people? We've done things, my family's done things before, like send out materials to the people in the neighborhood that live around us and things like that. But every so often, it'd be good to do that again. Knock on the doors, meet them. Bringing in the garbage can would be a good icebreaker. And after you've done this for a while, your neighbor's going to come and say, thank you. I appreciate that. Why do you always do that? Then you can begin to talk to him about the things that really matter. You see, the good deeds might be the foot in the door to talk to them about the things that matter. But it's not a substitute for the things that will save their souls. You know, I shudder to think about being there at the day of judgment and losing my soul because I did nothing. And I shudder to think about being at the day of judgment and having somebody turn to me and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you mention him to me? You know, we sing the song that says, when in the better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls will be if any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day, and you knew I was astray, and yet you never mentioned him to me.